podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is going to be close, folks. Strap in again for a long night, may I suggest.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody, welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything's revolving around Euro 2020 for just a few more days. My name's Serge.
I don't know, mate. If we win on Sunday, it might be more than a few more days. My name's James.
50 years. We'll be talking about it for 50 years.
Probably.
Yeah. Amazing. Because, and I can imagine the confusion when people try and say 10 years from now, when it's 2030, and people are like, yeah, we won Euro 2020 9 years ago rather than 10 years ago. It's going to get confusing in the old dates, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Are you suggesting it'd be better if we lose? Because it's just going to be difficult to explain to the grandkids.
No. It's all good. I'll take it. Yeah, this is our final show before England are in a international final for the first time in 55 years. So we'll run down a little bit of a preview on the weekend, although we've done quite a bit of it already. I just got, to be honest, in terms of preview, I've got quite a different question for you, James, that I'm going to get you to answer. Maybe we'll do that first. Then we'll also look at a team of the tournament so far in terms of the best performing players. Maybe a combined England Italy 11 from the current squads, see where we get to with that. And a little bit on the old fantasy. I've actually got 10 players, sorry, 9 players already. So it's not too much of a big deal.
Yeah, I think with these two finalists, people are not too far off. I did see one team knocking about that's only got 3 players at the moment.
Could be worse. Could be 2. Yeah, it's previewing the game, right? We've talked a lot about how England should set up to beat Italy and so on. But I think through the tournament now, other than the game against Germany, England have been pretty consistent, 4-2-3-1, with Rice and Phillips as the two, and then a bit of a mixture up.
Variations of in terms of generally setups, but generally, yes.
You are, and I know this is quite a stretch for the people on YouTube especially, you are Roberto Mancini. It's a stretch because of the flowing locks and, you know, dashing good looks.
Yeah, okay, mate.
What are you telling the Italians? What's the Italian blueprint to beat us?
Oh, that's a very, very good question. I think from an Italy perspective,
I should have told you I was going to ask it before the show.
No.
Because we've talked about England, like Mount getting in Jorginho's face. We know. Obviously, you were on the Happy Hour podcast with the boys. Give them a shout out yesterday, talking about how England can beat Italy. I want to know what Mancini's telling the Italians to beat us, because then we have to try and second guess that potentially as well.
Yeah, I think Mancini hasn't pulled any real kind of surprises out yet in the tournament. And something since I recorded with the guys on the Happy Hour last night, listening to James Johnson, the Italian rep, and the way he was talking about things, did get me thinking about, is there something that could come up that's a little bit of a shock or a surprise? He spoke about the concern in Italy at the moment that they need a kind of real anchor to protect Jorginho after what happened on Tuesday. Not a particular... They don't want Jorginho to come out of the team. They just want someone to sit in front of the back four, what we've spoken about, Kane in the pockets, those kind of things. Something potentially to fix up that area. And it got me thinking about, is there something mad that Mancini could pull out? Like going a diamond, for example, and playing, dropping Immobile and going Insigne and Chiesa as wide forwards and just flooding England out. And kind of saying, okay, do you know what? Maguire, Stones, all game, you can have the ball, but other than that, we're going to flood you out. And I thought about that, and I thought, if he did that, we're so fucked.
Well, I'm sure we'd have to adapt how what we did to counteract it, maybe switch to a 3 or something like that. I wouldn't go so far as to say we're fucked, but it would definitely pose a very different challenge.
But system-wise, he's not lent too far away from the system. Kind of, you know, they've been really a 4-3-3 with slight variations, particularly around Barella's positioning, whether he's higher, whether he's a bit lower. Obviously, slight differences in terms of whether Verratti or Locatelli play. Locatelli was brilliant for allowing Spinazzola to push really high. That's obviously not now so necessary in a game like this. Verratti's a super player anyway, who can dictate the rhythm of a football match. But yeah, that was the one that I thought, oh my God, if they went with a diamond and played with split forwards, we'd have so many problems. I can't see him doing that. I generally think the Italy team will, there's every chance it will be the same team that played on Tuesday night against Spain. I can't see whether it would go too far from that. I asked James Johnson if there was a chance that perhaps Di Lorenzo might play at left back with Toloi at right back. He thought it was a possibility, but probably unlikely, which is kind of relevant for a lot of people who perhaps now got Emerson in Euro fantasy. But I don't think he's going to lean far away. I wouldn't be surprised if the team came out and Belotti played instead of Immobile, but I don't think that will happen. I don't think they'll move far away from the system. And for the simple reason being is, really, across the team, they're a little bit better than us. So how much do they need to change? Spain, as we've highlighted on both of the last two podcasts, set the blueprint for how England can hurt Italy. We can now see that. I think before Tuesday, a lot of people were looking at it and going, I don't know how we hurt Italy with like Bonucci and Chiellini and Donnarumma in goal. It's an intimidating backline to come up against. Now we've seen how we can do it. But Italy will know that England have now seen how it can be do it. So they might change things up a little bit, but I don't think so. In an odd way, I feel the Italian setup's probably easier to predict than the England setup, actually. The more I've kind of delved into it, yeah, and thought of alternatives that might happen. Do you see this as a game where either manager could pull out a shock or a surprise?
No. No, I don't think so either. I can't see it. I don't see Immobile being dropped. I don't think it'll be Chiesa and Insigne. I think it'll be Verratti, Jorginho, Barella. Yeah, I don't see it. I just don't see it. I think Emerson will still start. England in and amongst the wide players. I mean, it's really what happens with Jack Grealish or Saka or Sancho. It's one position that I think is up for grabs there. But then Sterling moves left or right. But Sterling will play, Mount will play, Rice and Phillips will play, back four will stay as it is. I can't see any shocks there, really, to be honest.
There's a lot of calls from a lot of the journos for Henderson to play. A lot. That's growing some momentum. And I don't know if that's just a will. A lot of it seems based on experience. Again, I spoke on that podcast last night. Sham asked us about, are you concerned about the lack of experience of Rice and Phillips? It's like, no, not really.
I like their energy.
Not really. Exactly.
On the flip side, there was a lot of talk on TalkSport this morning about the fact that we will be fitter and be able to outrun that Italian team. They've got slightly more years in some of their legs. I think we've got energy. I don't doubt that. I definitely think we've got energy in and amongst the team. So, I mean, dropping Henderson in, he's not unfit, but I don't think dropping Calvin Phillips is the right thing to do for Henderson or Rice, to be honest with you.
Well, one of the theories at the moment is actually to drop Rice and play Phillips as the deep liar, because one thing that we've really not seen during this tournament is Phillips playing kind of direct diagonals during the tournament. And obviously, if you can get it into the space quickly to the wide players, it's a potential way in for England. There's a little bit of theory behind that. I'd be concerned that Phillips hasn't played that role really for England personally. And if it gets absorbed where suddenly, I don't know, for example, Barella goes really tight on him, then I think your game plan's almost dead before
I just don't agree with taking someone's club positioning and the way they play and saying, well, they can then do that for him. Because different team and different setup. I mean, so many of the players do different jobs internationally than they do for their clubs. I mean, Rice is the same. For West Ham, he does a lot of driving runs. He doesn't do any of that for England. Doesn't mean he should do it for England because it's a different team with different needs. Phillips is playing a lot of long passes for Leeds, diagonals.
You just pissed off a large chunk of Yorkshire there, mate.
Oh, dear. But you know what? I've spent a few days up in the Yorkshire Dales and pissing down rain, walking the hills, and so I just think, fuck that place.
but there's some theory in it. What does everyone call him? The Yorkshire Pirlo, right?
Yeah, I don't.
We've seen him playing Andrea Pirlo passes in the tournament.
I'm just not going to second guess Gareth Southgate or try and be cleverer than him. He knows what he wants to achieve, so let him do it. I think that's fine as it is.
I think the call, I agree, he's on the 11th man. Whether it's going to be Saka again or Sancho. There's been quite a bit of calls for Rashford the last few days as well. Or he goes Sterling right, puts Grealish in the team. I really don't think he'll go back five.
It'll and be easy enough to change. Like, I think if he wants to bring Henderson in and take Rice off at half time and drop Phillips in, he'll be able to do that. These are not complete mass changes that he'd need to make. We have five substitutions, so it's going to be down to the in-game changes.
For me, the back five was particularly useful against Germany because it got really highlighted during the group stage. The threats of Gosens and Kimmich and shutting that area down was going to nullify a lot of Germany's attacking threat. That's what happened. For me, if we play a back five and Trippier comes in the team, you are accepting that you are playing nothing but a counter-attacking game. And for me, it's not the right way to play because we are going to allow them complete tempo and domination of the football match if we do that. We will get outnumbered in midfield, and I don't think we can afford for us to allow Jorginho and particularly Verratti to set the tempo of the football match. I don't think we can allow that. And if we go with a back three, it is going to become a 5-4-1. We are going to have 35% of the possession. It doesn't mean that we can't win the game playing that way. But for me, suddenly, we'll be allowing Italy to come out of their discomfort zone. All the things that Spain gave them discomfort was with, obviously, the way they played, the way they got in their faces. And if we go with that system, we're not going to do it, in my opinion. So I really think that's not the right way to go. I'm 90% sure it will be a back four. And I think, yeah, as we've said, to be honest, even before the game, he's probably just going to be a cool one if it's Saka or another.
Let's look at this combined 11 with England and Italy. There's a number of positions that are very easy and there's a number that are less easy. Should we go with the 4-3-3, though, as a formation?
Yeah.
Donnarumma, straightforward, standard.
No, Pickford, mate.
Donnarumma, straightforward, standard.
See, me taking the piss comes out all right on YouTube. I can't believe that. No, yeah, obviously, Donnarumma in goal.
Yeah, and dude, right
can,
back.
Can we just not pick the centre-backs? Can we just go, yeah, pick any four of them?
right back I'd give to Kyle Walker.
Yeah, so would I.
Centre-back, left-back, Spinazzola being injured means you'd pick Luke Shaw, but Spinazzola over the entire tournament or Luke Shaw? I think that's a difficult one.
Oh.
Luke Shaw contributes a bit more from set pieces, set plays. He's probably better defensively, but maybe Spinazzola offers more going forward.
Spinazzola has had a phenomenal tournament, and it's also worth saying that Spinazzola worked very well within Italy's setup under Roberto Mancini. We're obviously picking Southgate as manager here, I'm guessing. Maybe not. So Luke Shaw for me.
Yeah, for me as well. I'm never going to be a football manager before. I prefer a left foot or a left back. So if we're going to give the two wing back or full backs to England, let's just put the Italian boys in the middle and be done.
Oh, to be honest with you, I was doing that anyway, mate.
Yeah,
I would go Chiellini and Bonucci, yeah, and that's believe me, that tough. Is no slight on Harry Maguire.
Not at all. But look, it's their last chance, isn't it, the old boys? So let's give them one last hurrah. Midfield three.
You might be going blanket Italy again here, mate.
Yeah, I think so. I don't want to.
I think the one debate would be Mount Barella, but there's a kind of argument there in terms of the fact Barella's more of a right of a three and Mount's more of a left. Although I think Mason Mount has proven to be very adaptable. I mean, I would go Jorginho, Verratti, Mount, I think.
I'd go Rice, Verratti, Mount, but just everybody who listens to the show regularly knows I'm biased. Simple as that.
So, fair enough, mate.
But yeah, they've been very good, the Italian midfield. And this is where you can't compare apples and pears because they all play in slightly different positions up the pitch. But yeah, I think that's a fair shout. Harry Kane over Immobile is a given, is an absolute given for me. Yeah. Immobile, I think, is not a bad striker. I mean, if he rocked up at West Ham, for example, I wouldn't be like, oh shit, we've got a duffer here. But, you know, Harry Kane is definitely... is in the hot seat for the golden boot. If he picks up a couple of goals, he'll take it. So, well, I mean, to be fair, Sterling's in and around as well. So, Harry Kane for me is a given. I'd probably play Insigne left and Sterling right.
Oh, I see what you've done there.
Cheated.
A little bit, yeah.
If I had to pick with Insigne or Sterling, I'd take Sterling.
Sterling. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I like what you've done there. I'll go with that. I'll go with that. It's proper cheating and cheeky.
Well, Sterling has played on the... You played Ramos as right back in the Spain-Italy team.
No.
And he played... Just because he played a few tournaments there, so...
Boy, no, hold on. He was Spain's right back for like five, okay. 6 years.
But Sterling's been right side. I mean, okay. Leroy Sané is on the left, but Sterling spent plenty of time on the right for Man City. So I think Sterling on the right is doable, and Insigne on the left. I think that would be a hell of a team.
How many England players did we have in there? Was that cheeky?
So we've got the two fullbacks. We've got Mason Mount. So
we had
Harry
five.
Kane,
five England, five Sterling. England, six Italy.
That's
what we end up with.
I had six because I was being biased. But yeah, it's not bad. I think
that's
it's
fairly balanced. That gives you an insight into the game on Sunday, I think, doesn't it? This is going to be close, folks. Strap in again for a long night, may I suggest.
What about the tournament overall? I mean, I think Donnarumma still stays in goal. I can't believe that boy is 22. I mean, playing for AC Milan when he was 16. Poof, he's big.
It's got to be end up being best goalkeeper in the world, as I said, and one of the other points, if he's not
already.
But I think for the tournament, I think you go Pickford, mate. It's not a pick your best 11. I would argue in Casper's case that the only really, and he didn't have any weak games particularly, the only real strong game we had is England. We kind of erased the Finland game from our mind, but he should have saved it, shouldn't he? So I think I'd go Pickford, actually.
For me, Donnarumma.
I think the
still,
team in the tournament. He's conceded one goal in six games.
Yeah, and it was a set piece, to be fair. So, yeah, okay. I mean, it's a difficult one. Centre back.
Set piece that he probably should have saved.
left back.
Oh, the left back.
Are we going 4-3-3
so
again?
So fucking, yeah. Left back's so brutal. I would honestly go Spinazzola.
I'm going to go Mele.
The three players, Luke Shaw being the other one.
Yeah.
All reasonable shouts. Yeah. No doubt about it. I would go Spinazzola, I think.
And a right back?
I think I'd probably go with Kyle.
Especially the last game. I mean, he's been consistent. He's been one that, obviously, we talked a lot about whether or not England had too many right-backs and so on. Kyle's kept his place throughout the entire tournament and has grown into it. Had Spinazzola been playing for Italy, I think Kyle Walker would have had a tough time, but would have been the best place to match him in terms of pace and recovery and so on. So I think Kyle Walker as well has been the best right-back, consistent.
It's interesting because actually, if you think back to pre-tournament, with obviously Trent, it's almost forgotten now, isn't it? You almost forget you have him. With the four fullbacks, there was so much debate about it. And I think if we're honest, not too many would have started with Kyle Walker, actually, on reflection. But I don't think that there's any doubt about it now, actually. And for a team with a tournament team, in terms of setting it up anyway, Kyle plays this withdrawn fullback role really well now. So Spinazzola can bomb on. Kyle can tuck in. We make it a three if we need to. Kyle Walker for me. I don't think there's not been outstanding right backs in the tournament like there has left backs, in all honesty.
Chiellini gets in the middle.
I'm tempted to say, although they both play on the same side, I'm tempted to say Stones and Bonucci because they're the boys who played all the minutes, right? Chiellini missed a few games through injury. Harry Maguire obviously missed the first two games for England.
I'd put Chiara in there just because of the off-field and everything that happened in the first game.
Yeah, I can get
He's also been decent in the tournament.
I feel like we've all written quite rightly the Denmark-Finland game out of our memory, but before what obviously happened to Christian, he was having a nightmare in that game, Simon Kjær. It very easy could have got sent off. He pulled Pooch back as he was about to go through. So, I mean, to put him ahead of Bonucci or Stones, not for me.
Harry Maguire has been a massive threat at set pieces last couple of games, though. Massive
for threat. For me, the choice of those two is only controversial because they're both right-sided centre-backs, basically. Or they've both at least been playing that position. Although, obviously, Stones has gone to the central when England have played a back three. Fuck it. No, I'm going Bonucci and Stones, mate.
Bonucci is fine. I'm going to take Maguire over Stones because I think in the last couple of games, as a set-piece threat, he's been really immense. I've been really impressed with him. And he carries the ball and brings it out really well as well. I've and he didn't start the tournament, so he had to get up to pace very quickly. So I think I like Harry Maguire over Stones if I had to pick a team right here, right now. Holding midfielder or midfield three. Should we say Pedri's going in?
Pedri's 100%. Yeah,
so
definitely.
Pedri's in. Who else?
I think for me, probably Jorginho. And I would probably go Barella with that. Oof. I think he's had an underrated tournament, Barella.
Barella's been... I don't mind Barella in there. Jorginho, just trying to think who else would warrant it. I mean, there's so much other talent, but probably doesn't warrant it. Like, say, Kevin De Bruyne and what have you. They don't deserve to be in this team in the tournament, do they? They didn't play enough minutes, didn't create enough, and didn't drag their team to the final.
Pogba, if he'd gone further in the tournament, would be worth probably being in the conversation, but not for an overall team of the tournament for me to be going out. I wouldn't be happy having anyone who went out in the last 16 in this, personally. Mm. So I know a few people are probably screaming into their ears at the moment, Forsberg. No, not for me going out in the last 16.
Mm. Yeah, I don't disagree with your selections there. The front three, Raheem Sterling... he's not far off winning player of the tournament. If he has a worldie final and England win, then he's pretty much a shoo-in for player of the tournament. So Raheem Sterling's in there for me. Insigne, I think, also gets in. He's been really good. Although I don't know.
Controversial. What are you doing? Throwing Sterling on the right again?
Mm.
Cheeky bastard.
It's hard when you're trying to make Frankenstein teams because of positioning. Everybody plays a different formation. Yeah.
I think Insigne has had kind of 2.5 very good games for Italy. The first two games and the Belgium game. I think Sterling's consistency, even when people were questioning the performances a little bit, the goal against Croatia, the goal against Czech Republic, the opening goal against Germany. So I think Raz has to go in. I would go Patrick Schick up front as a central striker. I think... 5 goals for Czech Republic is pretty impressive. Plus,
yeah.
Goal of the tournament. We don't actually need to have a debate about it. An incredible goal he scored against Scotland. And on the right of him, I'd go Lukaku, actually.
Mm. I would have played Lukaku up top, to be honest with you, and maybe got Sterling.
In both the Portugal game and the Italy game, they played De Bruyne as a false nine. He played as kind of a split, kind of right-hand side to move inside forward. I think his performances have been good. I thought his hold-up play late in the game against Portugal, in the last 16 when they're under immense pressure, was big for them. He carried the threat against Italy, although he missed at least one big chance to draw the game level. He was powerful in the group stage. When Denmark were on top, he had a kind of bully moments against Vestergaard and stuff that brought Belgium back into the games. I'd go Lukaku as the right of the three. Which, as the boys said to me on the Happy Hour podcast last night, so what, no Ronaldo? Yeah. And as I said to them, Ronaldo will sleep fine. He'll be okay.
Yeah, I think that's a fair shot. I would have had Sterling and Lukaku. We're disagreeing a bit on Immobile, Schick and the positioning. But yeah, those are the players that definitely are in with a shout of making it when the UEFA or whoever else, the UEFA announce their team of the tournament, if they do or what have you. Fantasy, what are you doing?
Okay, yeah, forgot about that. It's a semi-important thing.
I'm lined up at the moment: Donnarumma, Stones, Emerson, Shaw, Mount, Insigne, Sterling, Kane, Immobile. I've got Laporte and Torres on my kind of bus team that are not playing. So I think Harry Maguire is an easy one for Laporte for me, and I'll probably get Chiesa for Torres.
So I've got 10. Between England and Italy, I've got 6 English, Pickford, Stones, Shaw, Mount, Sterling, Kane. And I've got 4 Italian, Emerson, Berardi, Insigne and Immobile. I clearly don't need 5 free transfers. And I'll be honest with you, I'm probably not going to use 5 free transfers. You know me, I'll go with an all-in strategy. I won't go half measures. I'm going to go all-in England, unless the team spooks me. But I think even if England actually went for a back 5 and Trippier played, I think I'd probably try and find a way to get Walker, Maguire and Trippier all in, actually. Go all 6 of them defensively. So at this stage, I want to go with a 5-4-1. I've got, in my opinion, already the three best attacking English assets of what we know, which is Kane, Sterling and Mount. That opinion might change, particularly, I think, if maybe if Jadon Sancho plays, might change my opinion. I could force that Mount to Sancho, for example. But my intention at the moment is to make four free transfers with what I have. And that would be selling Immobile to Giacomo Raspadori, 5.5 million Italian forward. Because my thinking of a 5-4-1 is I'd leave Immobile out anyway. My thinking on 5-4-1, by the way, is I think there's a fair chance this game's going to finish 0-0. So I'll have even the clean sheet points from the midfielders. So I'm going to sell Immobile to Raspadori, and that opens up basically to have unlimited. There's no financial problems from there. Harry Maguire and Kyle Walker are in based on what we think the England team will be. So that would be for Azpilicueta and Joachim Meili. And then I would move Berardi to Chiesa. And that would still leave me 3.6 million in the bank and one free transfer. So like I said, I could go Mount to Sancho, for example, if he was in the team. I mean, that's the one that would maybe tempt me to force that. But yeah, that's what I'm looking to do. So it'd be eight England, three Italians. I think Emerson, Insigne, Chiesa are the best three Italians to go for if you're going kind of an all-in strategy. And I think if you were doing it the other way and going all in Italy, you're probably looking at Kane, Sterling, Shaw, aren't you? I think, or slash Maguire, depending on if you fancy. But if you're going all in Italy, I don't think you're looking for them to score necessarily. So
no.
I think Kane, Sterling, Shaw would probably be the way to go.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
Do you know what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Ferran Torres goes to Chiesa. And Laporte is going to go to Harry Maguire. That gives me 11 on the pitch. And then I've just got a bench to figure out. But I'm just looking at it here now. Like, I've got no financial issues. So I'll end up with probably playing Donnarumma, Shaw, Emerson, Maguire, Stones, Mount, Sterling, Insigne, Chiesa, and then Harry Kane and Immobile. I'm going to stick with Immobile.
Prediction?
I didn't want to do it the other day.
No. I mean, your outlandish prediction didn't cost us. Or as you said, well, I was close on the XG.
Well, I was, though. If you take the XG, I was right. 3-0, right? It should have been. So,
if you take away the dubious penalty decision, you were nowhere fucking near, mate.
True. But, I mean, what's Harry Maguire's XG on the header that Kasper Schmeichel pulled a worldie of a save?
Low, mate.
Exactly. Low. But that was a great chance, and he nearly scored. So.
Not really, mate.
Sterling could have, should have put that chance away as well. So I think if England had walked away from that game 3-0, you wouldn't have been massively surprised. Denmark probably deserved the goal, so 3-1 would have been a fairer reflection. 2-0 to England.
Fucking hell.
2-0 to England.
He's gone for it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that Harry Maguire's XG in the Denmark game was 0.13, by the way. So.
Small chance, yeah.
I am going to go for 0-0 all night and England to win on penalties.
Okay, just so the listeners know, if that happens, I cannot promise you a podcast on Monday, a sober one or a long one or anything. You'll get something. We'll record some audio, but it won't be coherent. It might not be in English. If England win on penalties, a major final. Yeah, Monday's a write-off, mate. Boris not wanting to hedge his bets and give everyone the day off. Boris. We're all going to be fucking doing nothing anyway.
Can we talk about this for a second, right? So my understanding is they're debating that if England win of giving everyone a bank holiday on Monday. Is that correct?
That's the chat.
Okay, so listen, the game, if it goes to penalties and all that, might not finish till nearly 10:45 at night.
Exactly.
There'd be some people going to bed not knowing if they're going to work the next day who don't give a fuck about football.
Yeah. It's stupid. We've done it company-wide. Like, if people are going to come in late on Monday, they're going to come in late. What are you going to do? Argue over an hour or two extra in bed when people are a bit worse for wear because of a late night. Fuck it.
Let me tell you that no matter what happens on Sunday, I will be in that office on Monday. I got shit to do.
Yeah, but what? But the time, like midday, is like sensible. You don't need to be. Oh,
listen,
9:00.
I don't think it, if we win, I don't think anybody's expecting their podcast to drop by 10 a.m.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Sensible people.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of the stuff, obviously, most of the stuff don't work in football. So, but even for them, I'm not. A lot of people are working from home now. Do you think, honestly, your boss is going to know what the fuck's happening at 9:00 in the morning? Jump on your Zoom calls or whatever you need to. But be realistic. It's not happened for 55 years. Let's win first and we'll worry about the consequence second. No one's going to get fired for being a bit hungover on Monday morning should England do the business. But,
I'm sure that will happen somewhere, mate.
Well, yeah. I hope it doesn't. Listen, enjoy the weekend, listeners. I hope you enjoyed today's little podcast and preview. Keep it in your ears. Stay calm. Don't start drinking too early, or do if you can handle your booze. Yeah, that's it. Nothing else to add? Nerves and all
the rest? No, nothing else particularly to add, other than obviously our final Europod will be on Monday.
Correct.
And then we've got Takeover Week next week from Tuesday to Friday, where we're letting four of the best up and coming content creators taking over our content on one of the each respective days on our YouTube channels and obviously the audio platforms next week. So we've got Season Keepers, Man On, FPL, Happy Hour Podcast and FPL by Dummies are all on one of the days going to be taking over our content. We'd like to, it's very difficult for people to grow their content in a, what do you call it, Sergio?
Saturated market now.
That's the one. You're here for the flash words, aren't you? Let's be honest. Oi. So we want to give these guys a bit of exposure, yes. Get behind them next week. And then the week after, we've got some of the biggest names joining us for Content Creator Week as well, which I can reveal now is going to start with our good friend Late Riser from the FPL Wire podcast.
Nice. Good. Stay safe. Enjoy the weekend. Come on, England. I'm going home.
Come on, England. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.